There was a time when computers took up whole rooms. These days you can carry one around in your pocket. There's a new class of PC sticks that look like USB flash drives, but they're basically tiny desktop computers.
It's nice to be able to have this literally in your pocket. If you imagine you're a salesperson and you go into somebody's conference room and you want to share something on their projector, it might be easiest to plug your compute stick into the back of their projector, and now your computer is just displaying up there on their screen.
And one day, you might not even need a separate PC at all.
You don't carry an instant camera around with you anymore. You've got your phone for that. Don't need your torch. You don't need your alarm clock when you're traveling. You've got your phone, etc. The ability to be able to just plug your phone into the back of the TV and then being able to run everything on the big screen, I think is great.
Coming up on LPX, a look at the current state of PC sticks and maybe a glimpse into the future of these tiny desktop computers. Welcome to LPX. I'm Brad Linder. If you take apart a smartphone or a tablet, it turns out the actual brains of the device don't take up all that much space. So if you get rid of the screen and the battery, you can squeeze everything that's left into a really tiny box. A few years ago, several Chinese companies started doing just that, putting together tiny stick computers that you can plug into your TV to run Android apps on a big screen. A little while later, we started to see the first stick computers with Intel processors and Windows software. And in 2015, Intel launched its own PC on a stick, called the Intel Compute Stick. For 2016, the chip maker is expanding its lineup with newer, more powerful models. It's an impressive feat of engineering, but what exactly are you supposed to use these things for? Who does Intel expect to buy its compute sticks? That's what I asked Bruce Patterson, Intel's head of marketing for the Compute Stick product lineup.
We actually do view the Intel Compute Stick as well-designed for both consumer and commercial applications. In the commercial space, we're looking at small, medium businesses that are looking to be able to deploy digital signage in a very easy and convenient standards-based sort of way. In the consumer space, which is where the bulk of our business is today, what we're really looking at are, your tech knowledgeable homeowners who are looking to extend their compute experience off of their desktop or off of their laptop and bring some of that experience to their television.
What does it look like? How would you describe it? Here we are in an audio-only show. How would you describe it to somebody who's not looking at it right now?
Yeah, great. So it is shaped similar to a USB thumb drive in terms of its overall proportions. It is larger than that. It's about 4 inches long. And so it's a rectangular black guy that's got an HDMI port that just plugs right into the side of your TV or monitor.
In some ways, you can think about this the way that smartphones, smartphones are basically tiny computers, and a lot of them have had ARM-based processors, some have Intel-based processors. And what's inside, people like to say that what's inside of a smartphone today is more powerful than most powerful computers that sent, people up to the moon. I don't know. But the idea is that you don't need necessarily to get the basic computing experience or even to run Windows as we're seeing now. You don't need a big box with 16 ports and all that other stuff. The first generation Intel Compute Stick had just one USB port, one HDMI port, one SD card slot so you could use removable storage. And while it wasn't the most powerful computer, you could plug in a keyboard and mouse or use a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, and you could do word processing, web browsing, things like that. So you have to make some trade-offs. You can't fit everything into a 4-inch PC stick that you would fit into a traditional laptop or desktop. But in terms of the capabilities, it's capable of doing a lot of the same things that you would do on those devices. It just doesn't have all the ports. It might have a lower power processor, et cetera, right?
Right. I mean, so it is capable of doing a lot of things. No doubt about that. And certainly if you compare it to devices from 10 or 20 years ago, it's amazing, right, what it can do in such a tiny thing. But, when we talk about it, particularly for our consumers, we talk about really kind of four experiences that we think people are going to want to do with a device like this when it's connected up to their TV, and it's surf, tweet, stream, play. And so those four things we think are the sorts of activities that are most likely to do, and they work very well with an Intel Compute Stick. If you start with streaming, which I think is the most obvious, this is what people are used to thinking about. I want to get my Netflix or Hulu Plus or whatever onto my television. You obviously have that capability with an Intel Compute Stick. But beyond that, you can stream really from any website. Unlike dedicated streaming devices that exist today, which have to have a business relationship with, you know, a provider like Netflix or Amazon or whomever in order to get the content onto their device. Since this is a computer and you just go up to the internet, you can access any website like you normally would and be able to see the content on your big screen if that's where you wanted to consume it instead of on your PC or laptop. But beyond that, and this is why being a computer is so critical, you have the ability to do these other things like surf the web. You're streaming a soccer match from England and you want to look up the latest stats. You don't have to go to your phone or pull out another device. You can just do that right on the screen because you can surf the web at the same time. And then you do get to play. There's whether you're doing casual gaming straight from the compute stick, which it's capable of doing, or you're streaming gaming from another PC that might be in another room that's more powerful. You can then stream that game and actually play it on the TV again so your friends can be watching or you just want it on the big screen experience. So those abilities to surf, tweet, stream, play, that's what the Intel Compute Stick brings, that sort of capability to your TV. Could you open up Word and write a document or do an Excel spreadsheet? Yeah, probably, but we don't see why anyone would want to do that on their television.
Right. There are other computing platforms that would make more sense. And if you want something small, Intel also has the NUC or the NUC line, which stands for Next Unit of Computing. They're still small computers, but they're more powerful. They have more ports. You can upgrade the storage. You can access the insides a little bit easier and so on. And that actually brings me to another question here, which is most people probably think of Intel as a company that makes processors. But for the last couple of years, you have been producing your own full-fledged computers. I mean, these small, low-power computers generally, but things like the NUC and like the Compute Stick. What accounts for that that push?
Yeah, great question. You know, Intel is, has been, and remains largely a building block company, you know, meaning we build the stuff that goes inside of other stuff that people are going to build. But overarching all of that, our objective is to make amazing experiences possible for our users. And so lots of times that means we can go out and create great silicon or maybe write some new software, or maybe it's even just write a specification that the industry can go use and they can go, then we can get those amazing experiences out to end users. But sometimes, and this started, you know, 3.5 years ago when we started the Intel NUC line, when we look at what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve, the best way to bring that to life is to do sometimes more than just be a pure building block provider. So, you know, with the Intel NUC, we realized that we couldn't just make a 4-inch by 4-inch motherboard and sell it and hope that everyone would figure out how to make a chassis and the right power supply and integrate those things all together. So we said the right solution is to make a mini PC kit. We didn't integrate it fully. We use standards, so we knew memory and storage could be added on later by end users or by integrators. And so we decided we're going to sell that as a kit. That was the best way for us to get it into market. With the Intel Compute Stick, as we've miniaturized further, the reality is just that it's not user accessible. You can't open this chassis up. And if any of your listeners have one, please don't have them try to open it up. They will break something while they're doing it. You can't open it up and add in your own memory or your own storage. So the only way to deliver this experience was for us to fully integrate the device. So we're not doing it because we want to be in the computer business. We're doing it because that's the most efficient or sometimes the only way to create this new user experience. And so for the Intel Compute Stick, that means we're building a tiny little computer.
And with both the Compute Stick and the NUC line, we've seen that there are a number of other companies doing similar things. Companies like Zotac and Gigabyte have their own tiny computers that could easily be mistaken for a NUC. And there's a couple of companies, including those, that are doing Compute Sticks. What I found interesting is that Intel wasn't even the first company to put out a Compute Stick. There was a Chinese company called MeegoPad.
Yes.
That sort of beat you to it. Now, was that based on That's your design right. and they just beat you to market, or did they just have the same idea that you did?
So it was a very similar design. We had some conversations with them. Our objective is to help create new possibilities in the marketplace. And right now, we're doing that partly by productizing products like the Intel Compute Stick. But some of it is by helping others also productize products, you know, that are competitors to the Intel Compute Stick, but overall fit into the objective of creating new possibilities for consumers and our business partners alike. So, you know, when somebody like MegoPad comes out with a product, and yes, they were out a few months before us, you know, those of us that are particularly responsible for trying to make the Intel Compute Stick successful, you know, that's frustrating to us. We're trying to have the best product in the market at all times. But for Intel as a whole, that's just great. That's part of the natural evolution and getting all of our industry partners involved in helping to make transitions to new technologies. So, you know, it's great that MegoPad's out there, that other folks have these products that are similar, that are building off of what we've done, or we're building off of what they've done. That's great. That's how the industry advances and how, our, at the end of the day, the customers win.
The first Intel Compute Stick was launched in 2015, and it's a pretty basic computer with an Intel Atom Bay Trail processor, a single full-sized USB port, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and 32 gigabytes of storage. Or at least those are the specs if you get the Windows model. Intel also launched a model with Ubuntu Linux, but that model has just 1 gigabyte of RAM and 8 gigabytes of storage. In 2016, the company is launching an upgraded model of that version with a slightly faster processor and 2 full-sized USB ports, which makes it easier to connect a keyboard and a mouse or other accessories. Probably one of the most important differences is that the new model also has faster Wi-Fi and a better antenna arrangement. When I reviewed the original Compute Stick for Lilliputing.com, my biggest complaint was that it only really worked well if it was in the same room as my wireless router, and it was difficult to use both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth at the same time, but that's not true of the second generation model. Patterson says Intel also decided not to offer an Ubuntu version of the new Compute Stick. Instead, the company is offering a version with the same hardware as the Windows model, but no operating system.
Really, as we worked on it, we just decided it makes more sense to let our users decide which Linux SKU they want on it, or maybe they want a different version of Windows, or maybe they want to even, you know, start playing around and figuring out how to get an Android stack on there, whatever. You know, those all take more effort. You got to be a lot more knowledgeable to make those work, but you can do it. And so we do offer now that same product, but without an operating system installed.
I guess in 2015, the idea was, well, that's the cheaper model. So we're going to target that at people who aren't going to need all of the extra specifications. And then that just was not a good seller, is what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. So, I mean, the thinking was exactly that, Brad, that, hey, look, if we're going to try to find a low-cost version, let's strip it down to where, you know, what the lowest cost could be. And, yeah, the feedback from the industry, and both commercially and from our consumers, was, yeah, it's not the Ubuntu that's a problem. It's the 1 gig and 8 gigs of storage that's a problem. So we said, okay, great, we're going to change that. So we upgraded that. And we just decided, again, not because Ubuntu was any sort of an issue or anything, just simply we know there's lots of Linux installation or distributions out there, and we'll let people choose what they want to put on.
And with this year's models, the new Cherry Trail processor is a little bit faster on the CPU side, should be significantly better with graphics, so it should be able to handle high-definition and ultra-high-definition video, among other things. Was there any thought of... particularly with the no operating system version, because I imagine there's no restrictions from Microsoft on what kind of hardware you can get a cheap license for. Was there any consideration to maybe a model with 4 gigabytes of RAM or more storage, or, you know, beefier specs? Or are you really still targeting this as a low-cost platform and you don't want to sort of eat into your other businesses?
Yeah, it's a challenge. Now, Brad, we do have, you know, that what we were just describing, the Atom products here. So we did look at that, of course, when we were doing the Atom SKU. We had plenty of people said, hey, I would love more storage, I would love more memory. You know, as we looked at that and we did our analysis and the market sizing, it really made the most sense to hit the largest customer base that said really 2 and 32 is really the sweet spot right now, to balance out costs and what people are willing to pay for the product and what you still get with it. So as we looked at our Atom-based products, that was still where it made sense for us to go. Now, if you move up our stack, so we're adding for the first time Core-based compute sticks. And as you move up to those, we did make additional changes besides the processor, including moving to 4 gigabytes of RAM and 64 gigabytes of storage. We said, hey, here's a product that you know, we're trying to reach a different segment. We're trying to offer more processing capabilities, even greater graphics capabilities. And so with that, we felt it was appropriate, and our market analysis bore this out, for us to, you know, increase the storage and the RAM on those devices.
One of the key differences, I mean, they have more memory, faster processors, better graphics, but also significantly higher price tags, right?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, what you're really doing is you're moving to where, in many ways, we're taking the same components that you would find on an Ultrabook and putting them now into a compute stick. And so, yes, the price goes up correspondingly. We don't expect, Brad, that the M3 or the M5 in particular, but the M3 as well, we don't really expect these largely in the consumer space. The Atoms we expect to largely be consumer plays, and we expect our core M-based compute sticks to largely be commercially relevant. So small, medium businesses looking for maybe high-end or mainstream digital signage. Maybe they need 4K capabilities, which you get with the core-based compute sticks. Or as particularly as you go to the Core M5 with vPro, when you need remote manageability, you need greater security on the device. You know, that's then this product becomes very attractive to you. And there is, of course, an associated cost that goes along with that. So.
Right. And when we say associated cost, the starting price for those models is going to be about $399, right?
Yeah, we expect, you know, Intel doesn't set MSRPs with our products. So, you know, we talk about street pricing, and of course the products aren't in the market yet today, so it's hard for me to say what the street price will be. But we anticipate that street price will probably be right around that $399 mark for the Core M3 with Windows. Yes.
Okay. And when we talk about enterprise uses, in addition to digital signage, when we, you know, something that this opens up the possibility of is it's a desktop computer that has many of the functions you would expect from a lower priced Ultrabook, but it fits in your pocket, and right. So you could have your same computer at work and home instead of having to, you know, shuffle your data back and forth between computers or sync it in the cloud if you're not sure you want to do that. You could store your data on your computer and all of your programs on your computer, put it in your pocket, and take it with you to work, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, if you think about, you know, a traveler, particularly the guy traveling for work, it's possible, of course, they might very well have a laptop and they will be taking that with them. But there are times when it's nice to be able to have this literally in your pocket. And so if you imagine you're a salesperson and you go into somebody's conference room, and you want to share something on their projector, it might be easiest to plug your compute stick into the back of their projector, and now your computer is just displaying up there on their screen, versus trying to figure out how do you connect into their projector. Do you have the right dongle from your Ultrabook to their projector, their VGA projector, whatever it might be, right? People are using them in hotel rooms. You know, you go there, you got your TV, you plug it in, and you have all of your content right there, and you know, you didn't have to carry your laptop with you. You have it all on your compute stick. So,
what's the future look like? How committed is Intel to this product line moving forward?
We're going to continue to evolve the product and figure out what technologies people need and how do we work them in. At the same time, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to continue to work with the industry to help others evolve and grow and come out with their products. But we're absolutely committed to continuing to come out with Intel compute sticks and figure out how we can better the industry by leading with our own product lines. I don't know how much bigger the product line is going to be. I don't expect that you're going to ever see, you know, a Core i7 overclocking compute stick, right? I don't think we'll ever go up the stack that far.
In these tiny spaces, heat is a concern. So we're talking about chips that use between 2 and 5 watts of power, as opposed to 15 or 30 or, you know,
or
100.
Whatever,
so you're not
right.
You're not going to have an Alienware-style, you know, gaming system in this size.
It's not going to happen, right? I mean, it probably literally cannot happen, right? Physically, you'd start to melt plastics and other things like that. So no, we will continue to be low power space, continue to be using products off of the Ultrabook product line from Intel from a processor standpoint. So yeah, that kind of gives you an upper end of what's realistic to be able to do. And so, yeah, that will continue to be our bound, the thermal bound.
And speaking of low power, for a couple of years before Intel even got into this space, we were seeing ARM-based devices that were similar in form factor and design, but they would run Android. Maybe some people would figure out how to get Ubuntu to run on them. Did Intel sort of see what was happening there and say, we need in on this? Or was this did this come about some other way?
That was part of the story. Seeing that evolution and seeing, hey, there is interest in that space. And the other part of the story was saying, we think that we could do some things that would really better what our end users could do. We said, hey, we think that there's a chance if people are enjoying these other experiences, you know, maybe using Android on it for getting a dedicated streaming device, say, that sort of thing, you know, wouldn't they value having, you know, a full Windows experience that they're used to, that there's already all the software for, that's standards-based, that they don't have to hope that somebody develops a custom app for them that meets their specific needs. So looking at those two things, and then, you know, just as our lab, a bunch of researchers in our lab started working on the concept, said, hey, we think we can actually do this. You know, we said, okay, if the technology is coming together, we think the market is there, we know there's interest, let's go pull it together and make it happen.
Bruce Patterson is a marketing director at Intel who works on the Intel Compute Stick lineup. Bruce, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate having the chance to talk.
As we just heard, most of the people who bought the original Compute Stick plugged it into their TVs to stream media, surf the web, and generally run Windows applications in the living room. But since the Compute Stick is just a tiny computer, it can support all sorts of different types of software. The Ubuntu model didn't sell very well, but it's not entirely clear if that's because of the operating system or because that model had just half the RAM and 1/4 the storage of the Windows model. So shortly after the Windows version was released, Ian Morrison decided to install Ubuntu on that model. And after struggling to get sound, wireless, and other hardware to work with Linux, he released his work to the world. Morrison is a software developer based in Sydney, Australia, and he says he's been fascinated by the idea of running Ubuntu on tiny computers since the Shiva plug was released in 2009. That was a tiny computer with a low-power processor and Ubuntu software. Before working on the Intel Compute Stick, Morrison worked with the Shiva plug as well as other small computers like the BeagleBoard and Raspberry Pi, and then he noticed a tiny device called the Ricoh Magic MK802, which was one of the first Android TV sticks. But while it was marketed as a media streaming device, it was really a little computer.
I was fascinated with the fact that here we've got yet another small, convenient PC that you can carry around, except if it was running Android, which I wasn't too keen on from a computing point of view. So the challenge really was to try and get Linux or Ubuntu running on it. And I've been basically tinkering with these small stick PCs ever since, just trying to get to the point where we had a workable Linux stick PC.
So we could probably spend all day talking about this, but why Ubuntu? Why Linux? Why is it important to you to be able to run that software instead of Windows or Android on this type of device?
A lot of the work that I've done in the past has been on operating systems, on hardening environments, etc. Running commercial software in a commercial environment, and that has been in the Unix space, and also dealing with lots of data analysis in parts of my work. It's a lot easier to crunch data on a Linux box with the Linux tools than it is trying to do that on a Microsoft Windows box or anything like that. So I've always had a preference, if you like, for using Linux as an OS, and the fact that you can actually do things with Linux in the OS space, whereas with obviously with the Windows and Apple, etc., you're in a walled garden and you're not really meant to be tinkering with the OS side. You're just adding applications on top of the OS, which is not an area which particularly interests me.
when you install Ubuntu then on a tiny device, I mean, clearly this isn't a device that you're going to use for huge number crunching. It's got a low power processor. But what sort of things does it make possible for you or for others?
Well, actually, I spent so long just trying to get the OS working. I have very little use for these sticks in the real world. I would acknowledge the fact that they've got severe limitations in terms of making them totally functional at this stage. I mean, the lack of memory, the fact that the storage is so minimal, you know, you're being forced to have any 32 gig. So once you've got your OS up and everything, you haven't really got that much kind of space to do too much. And, of course, the processor is actually not the most powerful, not the most speedy. So the functionality is actually only going to be realized, I think, with something like the Core M stick coming out. My interest has always been the direction where we've been heading. So it's always been trying to squeeze something which is too big into something too small, rather than actually fully making use of what we've got at the time, if that makes sense.
So you've been, for a while, since pretty much the time that the original Compute Stick came out, as soon as you got your hands on it, actually before you got your hands on it, I think you were developing versions of Ubuntu, trying to figure out if you could get everything to work properly. And ultimately, I think you've done a better job of that than anybody else that I'm aware of. And you made those available to the public. And we've also seen some Chinese companies pick up on your work and brand it as if it were their own. What kind of response to your work have you seen since you started doing this kind of thing?
Everyone seems to want to be able to use what I've been doing. There doesn't seem to be, I'm surprised that there's not more people trying to develop as well. Or if there are people developing, then they're certainly not sharing what they're achieving so openly. I've always been one of those who basically, if I've done something, then you know everyone's welcome to it. Whereas I know some people prefer to either commercialize it or basically just don't feel that if they've done it, that everyone else then should be able to copy their work. But there doesn't seem to be too many people actually developing on these devices. I think one of the areas where we will need some help is certainly looking at the sound drivers for the new Cherrytail Intel Compute Stick, because they're missing, and it's going to be quite involved to actually get them working.
Have you tried a USB audio card at all, or anything like that?
No, I thought about it, but then to a certain extent, I felt that was like cheating. it's the same as you know, when you don't have Wi-Fi working. Yes, you can always stick in a USB Wi-Fi dongle, etc. But then, of course, you remove the challenge type thing. So it's the challenge that has been intriguing me, as opposed to just finding a working solution.
And I imagine it takes away part of the appeal of having a computer that's only 4 inches by 1 inch or so and weighs a couple of ounces. When you start having to plug more and more things into it, you might as well have just gotten a bigger computer in the first place.
Yeah, and that's actually been quite a good criticism of these sticks at the moment. I mean, most people end up with a stick, and then attached to the stick is a great big USB hub. Sometimes I look at my developing space and I've got more cables and hubs and plugs and things like that. And there in the center of all the spaghetti is this tiny little computer. And you scratch your head thinking, well, you know, yeah, maybe we do. We just go and get a shoebox and shovel everything inside that and, you know, hide it.
And I imagine a lot of people working with Raspberry Pis and other little computers probably face the same sort of thing, where you stack shields and USB, you know, drives and all sorts of other things on top of it to make it into a more useful product. But that doesn't seem to have stopped people from becoming interested in the Raspberry Pi. So,
no, and there again, that is the appeal, is the fact that you can actually add things to it. One of the benefits of starting small is you can grow.
So if Intel or one of these other companies that makes these little sticks, if they called you tomorrow and said, we want to design, you know, the Linuxium brand compute stick, what would you want to see in sort of your ideal compute stick?
Definitely where we're moving to with the next generation Intel compute sticks. Certainly 4 gigabyte of RAM, certainly a sizable storage. 64 gig is coming out. 128 would be more my preference. And obviously a more powerful processor, certainly more power, and not be influenced by the Microsoft pricing strategy, which I think most of these companies are, because they see that the stick that they produce has to at least run Windows. And then, of course, the cost of Windows starts making the stick very expensive. So then they drop back to what is affordable in terms of a stick plus Windows license. For me, as a Linux user, I don't have to worry about the license cost. Therefore, I'd rather use that license money in producing upgraded hardware. So the next generation of sticks, which are costing, you know, which come with $100 worth of Windows license, for me, I want that $100 diverted into RAM and eMMC.
Right. And in a lot of ways, what they're doing here, I guess, is taking with the Atom, Bay Trail, and Cherry Trail processors, it's the sort of stuff you're used to find in netbooks now without the screen, without the keyboard, just stuffed into a really tiny space. And with the Core M models, it's what we're seeing in things like the entry-level Microsoft Surface. The specifications are actually pretty similar between the cheapest Surface tablet and the cheapest Core M compute stick that are coming out. So it's kind of like taking a mobile device and making it into what you and I think, are considering kind of like a desktop, and what Intel is considering maybe more of a digital signage slash media player kind of system.
Yeah, I mean, the certainly the Core M is a desktop-grade CPU, and that's why it's going to be exciting to have that in the stick. And, yeah, I think Intel definitely don't want you to start using your stick as an alternative to everything else that's out there. But the fact that you will be able to is exciting for me as well.
So with a more powerful one on the horizon, it sounds like you're still excited by this space. And maybe this one will actually be powerful enough that instead of just installing the software, you'll actually be able to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, I think the Compute M version is actually going to be the first stick PC. I think everything we've had coming up to it has been, if you like, the development. When I think back to trying to use the very first stick PC, you know, it was too sluggish to do anything with it, as well as the limitations on RAM and storage. Certainly the Core M, I think, is going to be the stick of the future, as in the first generation stick of the future. And you will be able to actually use that. And then from there on, it can only improve. And that in itself might be the reason why I then move on to something different, because it will be there will be a sense of achievement in that the world has now done that, produced a stick computer. So look around, see what else there is to intrigue.
So you're sort of doing it for the reason that people climb mountains. It's because it's there, and the actually using it is less interesting than the challenge of making it work.
For me, yes. And to continue that analogy, I think that looking around, most of the mountains are now being climbed. So it's a question of what else is there to do, because it's there.
So it's time to go swimming, I guess. So you don't necessarily imagine that you'll start replacing your desktop computers with compute sticks. You just want to know that people who want that ability will be able to do it, and that you can rise to the technical challenge of making it happen.
Yeah, and the other thing is the fact that people then start finding uses for technology. I know that digital signage have been very keen on the miniaturization, because in the past they've had to use quite large PCs for effectively something which they don't need. So obviously a much smaller black box approach is going to be perfect for them. And when I look around, I find all kinds of applications that are being developed which only require a small black box PC. So things like the stick is going to be very useful for those people. You know, I think once you've actually developed something which works, then it's going to find its niche in various places. It's just been getting to that point where we've actually got something which is usable. But the direction it's going, you question whether your stick PC will actually be required, because everything will be in your phone. I mean, the same way that you don't carry an instant camera around with you anymore. You've got your phone for that, taking pictures on your phone. You know, you don't need your iPod for music anymore. You've got your phone. You don't need your torch. You don't need your alarm clock when you're traveling. You've got your phone, etc. And the ability to be able to just plug your phone into the back of the TV using a simple cable and then being able to run everything on the big screen, I think is great. When that technology does mature, I think it will challenge, as I said, the next level of what is the portable device.
And I know you're not a big fan of what Microsoft is doing in general, but they have a similar idea with their Windows 10 Continuum for phone software. It's not quite the same because it only supports a certain subset of applications right now if you want to plug it into your TV. Canonical, the company that makes Ubuntu, is working with a Spanish company called BQ to launch their first tablet that supports convergence, meaning that that tablet will be designed to plug into your TV. And as we've been saying, in a lot of ways, these little compute sticks have hardware that's not that different from the hardware that you would find in a phone. So it's interesting. What you're saying is kind of like, well, that hardware that's in a phone could stay in the phone and still do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, nobody wants to carry around a lot of devices. You know, one of the reasons why compute sticks or equivalent are interesting is because you don't need to carry your laptop around. So, you know, the fact that then you don't need to carry around the stick because it's all in the phone is going to be great. It doesn't mean that when you lose your phone, you're totally snookered. But that's a different issue we'll have to work on.
Ian Morrison is a software developer who's been documenting his work with mini PCs on the web at linuxium.com.au and at his Google Plus page. You can find links to both of those at lpxshow.com. Ian, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
That's it for this episode of LPX. Here's a taste of what's coming up on the next show.
In a lot of these developing economies, a smartphone is going to provide their first access to the internet of any kind.
The next billion people coming online, what operating system that they're going to use? Most likely, they will be using an Android smartphone. So it will be a logical step for Android to evolve into a full-blown computing platform, not just for consuming content or mobile.
Remix OS is a custom version of Android that's been transformed into a desktop operating system. We'll hear from one of the co-founders of the company behind Remix on the next LPX show. You can find past episodes and more information about the podcast at lpxshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or add us on Google+ to get the latest updates. And you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Brad Linder.